Let me begin by wishing each one of you a truly blessed and happy Easter. And before we do anything else, we should exchange the ancient Easter greeting, Alleluia, Christ is risen, and your response is, He is risen indeed, Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. From the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, the first four verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And from the 21st chapter of the Revelation to St. John, the fifth verse. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. It was Martin Luther who once said that God has written the resurrection in every leaf of springtime. God has written the resurrection in every leaf of springtime. And almost 1,000 years before Dr. Luther, the poet Fortunatus said, Earth her joy confesses, clothing her for spring. All fresh gifts return with her returning king. Bloom in every meadow, leaves on every bough, speak his sorrow ended, hail his triumph now. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, Easter always coincides with the coming of spring. With Earth's return from the cold death of winter. And because Easter is late this year, this Easter, spring has truly sprung in all its marvelous beauty. The delicate green of the first new leaves on the trees, and all the beautiful flowering trees, the forsythia, the daffodils, the crocus, the clear blue sky. Yes, indeed, Earth her joy confesses, clothing her for spring. All fresh gifts return with her returning king. Bloom in every meadow, leaves on every bough. Speak, his sorrow ended. Hail his triumph now. And how wonderful it is that this should be so. Creation itself pointing to the resurrection of him who, as St. John writes, him through whom all things were made. Through whom all things were made. And this is not by chance. For as Dr. Luther says, God has written the resurrection in every leaf of springtime. And in the earth's return from the cold death of winter, year by year by year, we in fact see what God has in mind for the whole creation. Not death and destruction, but an eternal springtime. The bringing of the whole creation to its perfection through Christ, through whom in the beginning all things were made. For in Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we see what God's truly loving purpose is, not only for us human beings, but for his whole creation. As Vladimir Lossky once memorably said, an infinite ocean of light flows from the body of the risen Lord. An infinite ocean of light flows from the body of the risen Lord. And so in the beauty of Earth's yearly return from the death of winter, we see what God from all eternity has had in mind for the creation he so generously and lovingly called out of nothingness into being. So, consider the beauty of springtime. Look at it. Enjoy it. For if even Earth's yearly return from the death of winter is so wonderful, what will be the beauty, the splendor, the ineffable joy and wonder of that fulfillment whose dawn has been seen in the resurrection of our crucified Lord from the dead? Yes, we have this year been enjoying a truly wonderful return of spring, new and glorious life after the cold death of winter. But that's, of course, not the whole story. We still live in a world plagued by human sin and selfishness and insatiable greed. A world living in fear of death, and suffering the sheer malice and craftiness of Satan, who disguises himself as an angel of light, who disguises himself as an angel of light. Yes, we do live in a world called out of nothingness into being by the generous love of our Maker. But this world is also a fallen world, and its fallenness is evident in so many ways. When compared to the eternal God, there is the unavoidable shortness and uncertainty of human life, an uncertainty which places a question mark behind even the best and most wonderful achievements of the human spirit. There's also that constant struggle to secure the life and the well-being not only of every single person, but the life and the well-being of groups of persons. The life and the well-being of nations. Some nations being predator nations. Predator nations, determined to gain by force or cunning what doesn't belong to them. And there's all the misery and the heartbreak and the suffering and bloodshed that follows in its wake. And even the happiest people are subject to bodily infirmity, and anyone can so easily be plunged into mental anguish and confusion. Human sin and the malice of the demonic powers make of this beautiful world God created a place of sadness and misery. Now, you and I as Christians shouldn't be surprised by this sad and inescapable truth, because in the killing of the Son of the Father's love, we see with unmistakable clarity what human beings are capable of. For when the Father's eternal Son, through whom all things were made, himself the Lord of love, came into this fallen world, perfectly ordinary human beings like you and like me rejected and crucified him. But the Son of the Father's love, Jesus, having loved his fallen creatures by coming to us, loved us, as St. John writes, to the end. Loved us to the end. And that means that he not only loved us to the end of his earthly life, but that he loved us perfectly. Praying for those who brought him to his cruel death. And it was, of course, your sins, my sins, and the sins of every human being which brought him to Calvary's cross. He prayed, "Father, forgive them," and went on loving to the end. And by so loving, perfectly, fully, completely, the Lord Jesus won the victory over sin, robbing Satan, the accuser, of his power, successfully to accuse all who place their trust in him. In the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of the Father, the Word made flesh, in him, in his death and in his resurrection, the whole fallen creation is restored and destined not for final death and destruction, but for the eternal springtime of the new creation which dawned this day from the open tomb. St. Paul writes, "Creation itself will be delivered from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God." St. Peter writes, "According to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." In his vision, when exiled on the island of Patmos, St. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with mortals. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with him. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things are passed away.' And he who sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new.' This is our sure and certain hope, given and grounded in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, which is the dawn of the new creation. And to sustain this sure and certain hope, the risen Lord truly comes this day to us in the Holy Sacrament, feeding us in these holy mysteries with the body born of Mary, which death could not hold nor the grave contain, and with the cleansing, life-giving blood once shed for us upon the cross and now forever pleading for us before the Father's throne. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.